Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This segment's brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Listen to the Cubs battle for the NL Central here.
Swing and a miss. Strike three and the Cubs win the ball game. A blazing fastball. Listen to this crowd.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score. Live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We are WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station.
The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Have you ever used Spider Tap while pitching?
I don't know. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
How much do you think that the added spin from these glues is actually impacting the pitcher-batter matchup in that regard?
There's no way that it isn't, or people wouldn't do it.
Joe West was looking at something maybe on the glove of Gallegos, like Schilt's coming back, and maybe it's the bill of his cap, and he throws out Schilt.
Schilt is irate.
There are people that are effectively, and not even trying to hide, essentially flipping the bird at the league with how they're cheating in this game with concocted substances. There are players that have been monetized for it. There are players that are obviously doing it, going to their glove. But speaking of integrity, how about the integrity of the guys that are doing it clean?
This has been something that's, you know, taken off and become somewhat of an industry. And there's things out there that have probably taken this obviously way too far.
When they came out in spring training with the, we're going to start taking baseballs, everyone knew no one's going to get in trouble. No one's going to get in trouble with this, or no matter what. Like, I'm going to be really surprised if someone gets in trouble this year because they found something on your baseball that they took out of a game. You just can't enforce it. It's an optic thing. And
the Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
I have not seen that in our clubhouse. I've seen pictures of a ball and what it looks like.
9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Well, that's where we are. And as we speak, there is news coming out about how this is all going to go down. No more rosin and sunscreen. They're now going to be like mandatory reporting, saying club personnel who help players use foreign substances, handle them, mask player use of them, interfere with collections of baseballs, or otherwise fail to report such violations will be subject to fines and or suspension by the commissioner. That is part of the memo as tweeted by Ken Rosenthal. So this is going to, it means that the players won't lose money, but the clubby or whoever else is helping might. That's how this works. Eldon Ham literally wrote the book on the history of baseball cheating. It was called Larceny and Old Leather. And Eldon Ham, who's on Twitter, at Eldon Ham, joins us now on Bernstein Rahimi. How are you, old friend?
Hey, Dan, I'm doing good. How are you?
Great.
I don't think I've connected with Leela before, so nice to make your acquaintance.
Eldon, we appreciate it. And as you well know, this is just another piece of a long history when it comes to baseball blurring the lines. What do you think is the reason this has now come up in the way it has and at the forefront of a midseason discussion?
Yeah, there's actually, I think, a whole lot to unpack here. the fact that it happened, and B, that it's happening now, and are any of those things related? I think in part there's a continuum going on. Maybe you can go all the way back to the steroid era. Significant cheating, as opposed to kind of cute cheating like Gaylord Perry with his spitball. The whole point of my book, by the way, the Larceny in Old Leather, was to study the sentimental part of baseball cheating. And why does baseball tolerate cheating more than other sports? Because there's always been little things that the game allowed to happen. Now, all of a sudden, I think it's all inverted. I'm not sure it's so sentimental anymore. The steroid era got in the way of that. The Houston Astros and the sign stealing and all. There's been sign stealing before, but this took it to a new level. And it's almost back and forth, right? The pitchers are trying to catch up and then maybe get ahead of the game. It's a weird thing. And the rule in play here is Rule 602 about defacing the ball. So right off the bat, so to speak, it seems to me kind of amusing that what they're doing really is not defacing the ball. It's defacing sort of their grip, their hand, right? It's a better grip. The spin rate goes up and all. When the players used the spitball, the point was to deface one side of the ball so that the air friction would be less on that side than on the other, which had the effect of making it dip and change directions more dramatically than normal. That's defacing the ball. So we got ourselves a little bit of a conundrum here, but and maybe it's a distinction without a difference, but it might come into play later on if there are ever any severe penalties. But I also wonder about gambling. All of a sudden, we got corporate gambling in a big way. And how's this for irony? If the gamblers want the game to be straight so that they can handicap it because they are corporate gamblers, not game fixers, then maybe that's pushing all of this. I don't know.
The irony being that gambling may be securing the game rather than tainting it.
Right. To me, that's a significant irony. It's always been the great third rail, if you will. You know, no gambling, no gambling. Now there's gambling everywhere. It's a corporate kind of thing. And I'm a little suspicious. I don't know that it's an overt conspiracy, but it seems to me the timing is right for the people who want to be able to handicap these things to be able to do it legitimately now that the gambling is legitimate. So that could explain part of this. But part of it could be, too, that I hear that the seams are on the ball are not as pronounced as they used to be. So maybe it is a little harder to grip the ball. Maybe the players are just doing what players do, responding to that. Or pitchers trying to respond, as I said, to a whole continuum of cheating and trying to get ahead of things. I remember in 1969, the Cubs had a relief player named Phil Regan. I was watching the game when the umpire came out and dressed him down because he had some kind of goo from his the bill of his cap. So this has gone on forever. The spitball ball was even banned, I think, in 1938, or at least it was banned before that, but they grandfathered it in until the last guy used it. He says the rule was you had to stop throwing the spitter unless you already throw the spitter, and then you can stay until you retire. But so the game has always had a loose approach to some of this stuff, but I think it took a turn with the steroid era, as I said, so now here we are.
When it comes to the idea of gambling being the check here, I think there is significance just in how our system is set up, that it would make sense that money is going to keep money honest. And maybe that's the piece of this that we're undervaluing here.
Yeah, maybe so. Because it is a kind of a general rule of thumb, follow the money, right? But maybe it's not so clandestine or doesn't need to be. Maybe it's just logical. And in a way, maybe it'll help the game. It won't help it if you have gamblers trying to influence the game now and paying off players and doing whatever gamblers used to do. But I think the game might be bigger than that. And the corporate money now on the gambling, these guys just want a shot at it. If they can handicap it better than the next guy, they're going to make out. So that might be part of it. It could be that the game also just got a little spooked by the fact that maybe things are getting out of hand. Nobody gets a hit. Traditionally, the batting average for the entire history of the major leagues has been about 259, the mean average, and now it's way below that. It had gone up to about 270 at one time, and now it's way below the 259 and going down. Nobody can hit these crazy sliders, and the sliders are wicked. And everybody's got a really wicked one, and unless it's somebody who has a wickeder one. And there are a few of those out there, too. So it could be that people are getting bored again. 1969, they lowered the pitching mound because the pitchers were too dominant. And then over the years, the pitchers got taller, kind of make up for it. So there's always a cause and effect here, and nothing happens in a vacuum. So I'm a little suspicious. I find it interesting and almost exciting that this is happening. I can't wait to see how they deal with it. I heard Steve Stone on the radio talk about maybe just police it by spin rates. Anybody gets over a certain ceiling spin rate is suspect. You know, can you do that? I know what they're going to do now is the umpires are going to check the pitchers, starters twice a game and relievers at least once. That's going to be weird and slow the game down a little, but maybe it'll help. Who knows?
Also, catchers that will be subject to routine inspections. Umpires will inspect a position player if they observe conduct consistent with the use of a foreign substance by the pitcher. Position players will not be ejected for having a foreign substance on their glove or uniform unless the umpire determines the player was applying the substance to the ball in order to aid the pitcher. But they're saying the pitcher ultimately will be responsible for any ball delivered with a foreign substance on it. If a player other than the pitcher is found to have applied it, both the position player and pitcher will be ejected and automatically suspended. There's a lot of detail in this, Eldon, but the...
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
There is, and I'm just wondering how much now, could you have less attentive umpires? Like, you're giving the umpires a lot more to think about, and they have a hard enough time just figuring out safer out. They have a hard enough time just figuring out, is he camped underneath the ball enough to call an infield fly rule, let alone, wait a second, I think I saw you put a booger on there. You know, this adds a complexity to the umpires that I don't know if they're ready for.
Yeah, and over the years, the catchers have been involved. They would sometimes scuff a ball, like when catchers wore belt buckles and things like that. They would deface the ball. But, yeah, this gives the umpires not only a lot to do, but a weird amount of additional power. Like you say, if you're not watching and it skips by you, or if you are watching and you don't care or you want to rig the game, it's just another tool in the toolbox. I don't know that they will do that, but it's a lot more to pay attention to. And it's going to be interesting how it plays out.
Well, and I think a piece of this, too, is also the fact that we exactly haven't had the best strike zone understanding and legislation for Major League umpires. That has been a huge discussion this season. And now you're putting even more in their hands. It's good for their union, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And the unions will get involved in this. The players' union, too. When they say that they're not going to suspend the players without pay, meaning they'll get paid, but they're out of the picture for a while. And that's a pretty good punishment when you think about it. But taking that monetary piece off might be kind of a bone to the union and get this past the union. Generally speaking, you have to go to the union with anything that affects the terms and conditions of employment. This sort of does. But if it's not a direct suspension with losing pay, which can be a lot of pay, maybe the union will allow this to go through because, after all, fighting this is kind of a weird position, although they did manage to do it in the steroid era. But to take a position that we don't want any interference with the cheating mechanism is a little hard to defend. So maybe this will make the game a little more even ground for all the players. And we'll see how that works out. I know that, and maybe they want this, rather than actually having to police it closely, the fact that it could be policed might have an effect, and it seems to be having an effect because I am seeing that the spin rates have come down ever since this was hinted at and sort of announced. So maybe it's already having something of an effect.
We're talking with sports law expert and the author of Larceny and Old Leather, Eldon Ham, on Sports Radio 670 The Score. What I found interesting, too, Eldon, I thought that as part of this compromise, there would be an agreed-upon substance that could be used with used a little bit, I guess, or used with a modicum of understanding and compromise here, but there's not. The only substance is that rosin bag, and they're going to check the rosin bag to make sure there's only that resinous fir tree powder, whatever the agreed-upon substance. I thought MLB would say, we're going to come up with a substance. Here it is. No more clubby mixes this or no more sunscreen in this. The fact that there's going to be absolutely nothing allowed except rosin is significant to me.
Yeah, it is. It makes it cleaner to police, pun intended, I suppose. But maybe that's what they want. And try to eliminate the gray areas so that there can't be any arguments about, like, the pitching version of the Pine Tar game and George Brett and all those things, taking away the subjective part of it. If it's rosin or nothing, then it's a little easier to assess, I suppose. But it's also a lot fairer, and you intimated about this earlier, to the players who weren't doing this, if there are pitchers who weren't cheating in this way. And it's just like the steroid era. The worst part of the steroid era was what happened to the guys who weren't on steroids. Because, you know, if you're a second baseman and you hit four home runs a year and the other guys are hitting 30, you're not going to have a job very long. So it really required everybody to do it. So now in this era, if half the pitchers do it, the other half are going to have to try to do it because they'll be out of jobs. So I have some empathy for the innocent guys, and maybe this zero tolerance approach will help that.
The other piece of this, too, is the idea that by the CBA and at the end of the season, I want to know how you think this is going to affect that part of it moving forward. The performance
results
will
speak
see.
Up.
Yes.
Yeah,
and then the CBA discusses.
Yeah, I think they'll bring it up. Right now, they may not have caused a stir because they too want to sit back and see what happens. But they will raise this as under the terms and conditions of employment and throw it into the pot, talking about the CBA. They want to see if the enforcement turns out to be fair or unfair. They do have a duty, understandably, to look out for the players and all the fairness and make sure people aren't getting caught by umpires looking the other way on some pitchers or forgetting to check a couple of times and interfering in the game without interfering. That was always the thing, the rub with Pete Rose. He always said he always never bet against his team, but that always telegraphed a whole lot of stuff. So if you have umpires that are more aggressive than others, that could be unfair. So I do expect we will hear from the union.
I also wonder if, in fact, your hypothesis is correct and some of this is driven by legalized gambling, what's next? If this is just the sort of the first thing identified, I wonder how much that there could be, you know, executive consultations when Theo Epstein is saying, you know, what can we do to fix the game, bigger bases and move the mound? See, to me, I'm thinking that where else could the involvement be if this is just one step that they're trying to curtail something? If they're being even more visionary and trying to look at marketing their game, where else could betting matter?
I saw one that seemed to have gone away already. It may not be related to this, but it's interesting to note for decades, as long as I've been following baseball, there used to be a thing called the sweeping tag at second, or the, you know, touching the base for double plays, mm-hmm. where the second baseman or whoever it was kind of waved at the bag and then got the double play. That doesn't seem to happen anymore. I mean, you got to really touch that thing. And maybe some of that has to do with now replay creeping in. That's tightening things up too, right? So the sweeping tag at second, you can't just kind of look the other way because the replay is going to show that nobody touched the bag. And you take that forward to all the other things that it might affect. And I think there will be some. I do think it would be a mistake to move the pitcher's mound back a bit or to lower the mound. This all seems to be coming from the pitcher's being good, of course, but being extremely good because of this grip and the spin rate. And moving the mound back, all that does is create chaos for the game when you're trying to fix something that could be fixed elsewhere, which is don't use this substance. So I'm sure some other changes will happen. The union will speak up. But I'm not in favor of, like, upsetting the apple cart and turning the game inside out and putting the pitcher's mound somewhere else and all that kind of stuff until they see how this will play out. Because I think the spin rates will go down and stay down if they get rid of this crazy substance.
They already have. I think we're starting to see that. But don't tell A-Rod, because he says it's just purely coincidence.
He
said that a few years ago.
Talk about ironic.
About
we won't go there.
Too, yeah.
Always appreciate your time, Eldon. Great stuff.
Thanks, Eldon.
Hey, always happy to do it. Leela, I almost feel like a first-time caller, so I hope I get a prize.
I think the prize is us getting to hear your expertise. I'll figure out something in return.
Oh, she's good, Dan. She's good. You got to keep her.
Thanks, Eldon. That's Eldon Hamm. So we have the document here. We have the actual document. MLB announces new guidance to crack down against use on foreign substances effective June 21st. So we've got to look at some of these bullet points next. We got to go through, because there's a lot. This is thorough.
There's one thing people love, it's going through thorough documents on radio.
But some of the, just imagining each, how this could go down. This is just telling you how to watch a game right now with the way they're going to be checking some of this stuff and who's on the hook for it. And wow.
Is it signed by Joe West?
Well, probably Theo. But I mean, you got your rosin bag and that is all you got coming soon. So let's get to some of the details on this next on the score.
Adbert had a blister. You know, Jake Arrieta was out for 10 days early in the season with a blister. Same thing, trying to throw his cutter and where his thumb went on the seam. It just, larger seams ripped it open. So, you know, it's something that we don't want players and you know, our best pitchers going on the disabled list or the injured list because they are throwing a baseball that is different from what it's been in the past. And so, like I said, I just think some of those regulations need to be more uniform. And we need to know going into every season what the baseball is going to look like. And it makes it more difficult on front offices to put together a team when they don't know exactly what baseball we're playing with, because front offices will make decisions based on what ball we're using, whether to go get hitters or pitchers or how hitters are going to play. You know, there's guys that had a ton of success in some of those seasons where the ball flew 5 feet farther that, you know, the homers turned to outs or the outs turned to homers. So to be able to kind of give those guys a little bit more freedom or clarity to go out and build a roster makes a lot of sense too.
Cubs union rep Ian Happ on this show. And what he says about the ball is absolutely true. And that's independent of everything that we have in front of us here, this voluminous memorandum.
And then we had it confirmed by Dr. Meredith Wills, who said she's not surprised if she has seen more blisters from pitchers because of the ball.
The nature of this ball, reminiscent of a previous ball that also caused blisters.
Start with the ball. Let's start there. And now we got to figure out what's on it.
Right. And they're going to, because this was just released by MLB. And this is all in effect on June 21st.
I'm going to try to hold this up for Twitch on my iPad. Please don't judge my dirty screen. But this is what we're looking at here.
She has Italian beef grease on her screen, like Connie's, a true Chicagoan.
Connie's Pizza.
True Chicagoan.
That yes. I have an Italian beef for lunch today. I'm very happy. So I'm going to try to show this. This is what we're looking at here, kids. Let's keep scrolling and scroll.
And while you can see that, I'm going to skip all the quotes here.
And I'm done. I think it's about 12 pages.
So without the actual quotes of people involved, these are the bullet points. Umpires have been instructed to perform checks periodically throughout the game on all starting and relief pitchers on both teams, regardless of whether they suspect a rules violation.
Regardless. Let's give Joe West more power this year.
No probable cause needed. Starting pitchers will have more than one mandatory check per game. Each relief pitcher must be checked either at the conclusion of the inning in which he entered the game or when he's removed from the game, whichever occurs first. In general, inspections will be conducted between innings or after pitching changes to avoid a delay of the game and to allow the umpire to perform a thorough check, including the hat, glove, and fingertips of the pitcher. In addition, umpires may perform a check if at any time during the game they notice the baseball has an unusually sticky feel to it. Or what about the catcher? What if the catcher has a sticky feel? Or when the umpire observes a pitcher going to his glove, hat, belt, or any part of his uniform or body to retrieve or apply what may be a foreign substance. A player who possesses or applies foreign substances in violation of the rules will be immediately ejected from the game and suspended. The umpiring crew shall be the sole judge as to whether the rules have been violated. The use of foreign substances is not subject to challenge using the replay review system. Although the foreign substance prohibitions do not apply exclusively to pitchers, the pitcher ultimately will be responsible for any ball delivered with a foreign substance on it.
I think that's called the Yadier Molina corollary of this.
Right.
Chest protector.
If a player other than the pitcher is found to have applied a foreign substance to the baseball, e.g. the catcher applies a foreign substance to the baseball before throwing it back to the pitcher, both the position player and pitcher will be ejected and automatically suspended. Catchers will also be subject to routine inspections. Umpires will also inspect a position player if they observe conduct consistent with the use of a foreign substance by the pitcher. Position players will not be ejected for having a foreign substance on their glove or uniform unless the umpire determines the player was applying the substance to the ball in order to aid the pitcher. This is, again, there's a lot on the umps here.
This is a lot more legislation than we saw after the Astros actually cheated and won the World Series.
Right?
They've paid more attention to this than actually stealing a title.
A player who refuses to cooperate with an inspection conducted by the umpire will be presumed to have violated the rules, resulting in an ejection for the game and a suspension. Rosin bags on the mound may be used in accordance with the rules. All substances except for rosin are prohibited per the rules that clearly state players cannot apply a foreign substance of any kind to the ball, may not have on his person or in his possession any foreign substance. Now, wait, it gets better here. Players may not intentionally combine rosin with other substances, for example, sunscreen, to create additional tackiness or they risk ejection and suspension. Pitchers have been advised to not apply sunscreen during night games after the sun has gone down, or when playing in stadiums with closed roofs. That's advised.
The sun doesn't go down until mid-game in the summer.
They have.
If
been,
you have a 7 o'clock start, the sun's not going down until like 8:30-ish, depending on where you live in the time zone. Seattle, by the way, it's really far west in the time zone. How are you going to figure that out? They have windows.
How about this? To ensure standardization of the rosin bag, clubs must submit the rosin bag along with the game balls to be reviewed by the umpires before the start of each game.
I'm sorry, but the sunscreen piece of this really bothers me. You can't tell people and legislate vaccination and then be like, oh, but get skin cancer. The most common one, by the way.
They're advising against it. They're not saying that they're going to enforce the sunscreen rule, as it sounds to me. It sounds like that they're just advising that
they're already soft tossing this in the memo. Then what is the point of the dang memo?
It's starting to sound like one of two comedy bits here. It's like the Monty Python thing from Meaning of Life. Your brother is coming and you are getting a haircut. You move your clothes to the lower peg and that way you can play in the game with the rugby masters on Sunday. Or it's the one in Bananas where he says, all children under the age of 16 years old are now 16 years old. Underwear will be changed every half hour and will be worn on the outside so we can check. I mean, this is really specific here.
On its face already, you can't have a memo advise that players not wear sunscreen.
Pitchers.
I don't care. It's still pitchers are still players. You can't advise that a class of player not wear sunscreen.
They're advised not to apply during night games after the sun has gone down.
Yeah, I don't think that's okay.
Or when playing in stadiums with closed roofs. Club personnel who help players to use foreign substances, handle foreign substances, mask player use of substances, interfere with collections of baseballs, or otherwise fail to report such violations will be subject to fines and or suspension by the commissioner. So they lose money. Players don't. Any club employee who encourages a player to use foreign substances or otherwise trains a player how to utilize a substance in violation will be subject to severe discipline by the commissioner, up to and including placement on the ineligible list. Severe. Don't know what it is, just know it's severe.
This is all, it all just reads like a big indemnification piece that they can try to legislate and they can try to enforce, and maybe it will and maybe it won't, but they can go back to this and say, if you did any one of these things, then they can act.
But
they have to actually prove that you did one of those things.
And they move it up the chain here. Clubs and club personnel are subject to sanctions for failing to adequately educate and manage or police their staff and players to ensure compliance. The Department of Investigations will investigate clubs whose players repeatedly violate the rules to determine the extent to which club personnel were aware of or otherwise condoned the practice. Clubs may not replace on the roster any player suspended for any on-field violation. Finally, MLB will closely monitor the effect of this policy on competition and on player health and may make future modifications to the enhanced enforcement guidance as appropriate. This comes down way more draconian than I thought.
It's also just really broad, and I don't know how it's going to be enforced. I think it might be a situation where they're going to find a reason if they want to, and then they'll come back and say, well, it's on this list. But the list is messy.
Great text here for the 815. Still, this is all much easier to understand than a Bernstein drinking game.
This is true.
Oh, come on.
815 for the win.
Sorry. Did anybody else play Zoom Schwartz Perfigliano? Anybody else play Whale's Tales? Everybody I knew, like, we came home from college, regardless of where we went to school. And we all were sitting in the same room, and we come home for winter break, and everybody, the Stanford kids, the Michigan kids, everybody knew how to play the same drinking games.
When you said anybody know how to play Zoom Schwartz Perfigliano, it's just like, say three random words.
No.
Anybody know how to play Purple Monkey Dishwasher?
Yes.
It's a well-known drinking game of people of a certain age. We came up from college. Everybody knew. We always all parallel evolution. Everybody played Whale's Tales. Everybody played Zoom Schwartz Perfigliano. People are like, well, that was a stupid Bernstein. I don't know your dumb drinking games. Well, it's whatever.
Amidst all of this, did I miss the announcement for the giveaway of the 4-pack of Cubs tickets?
No, you did not. We're going to do that next, as well as look at something. If you're a baseball nerd, we've got something cool.
There is a good baseball thing that actually happened. It makes sense. I am as shocked as you are. We'll talk about it next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.